Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Jackie Bledsoe, who's written a new and unique book. It's called The Seven Rings of Marriage, Model for a Lasting and Fulfilling Marriage. Interesting topic for Valentine's Day here. And this has been endorsed, this book, by Tony Dungy, Michael Hyatt, and Tom Rainer, among others. And so, Jackie, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jerry. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so tell us, what is the premise of The Seven Rings of Marriage? What does that title even mean?
Yeah, the Seven Rings of Marriage is, as the subtitle says, I'll break that down, but the model for a lasting and fulfilling marriage. And it's basically a metaphor for the different seasons or stages that couples go through in marriage who ultimately end up with a lasting marriage and one that is fulfilling to both. So each of the rings is one particular stage, and it's a play on words. As you look at, they're all real words, but they all definitely mean the season that you're in at that particular time.
Okay, without going into great detail, explain what the seven would be. Just rattling off the list.
Yeah, quick snapshot. First is the engagement ring. The second is the wedding ring. The third is the discovering. The fourth is the persevering. The fifth is the restoring. The sixth is the prospering. And last but not least is the mentoring.
Okay. Now, I understand in your own personal relationship, and you share this freely, you had some struggles in your own marriage. Can you tell us about that, and then how, by God's grace, were you able to overcome?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'll start with a little bit with the engagement ring, which is what the focal point of that is, the foundation of your marriage, really, really being diligent about creating a solid foundation. Well, we didn't do that. We didn't know any better at the time. And my wife and I, actually, we were intimately in a relationship before we were married, and we had our first child, our daughter, before marriage, before engagement or anything. So when we were married, our daughter was 10 months old, and that kind of brought, not the child, but just the way we came together, brought up a whole host of problems, which, you know, through the years caused communication issues, challenges in intimacy, challenges with in-law relationships. And one of the worst seasons was we had entered some financial problems due to a job loss, which resulted in our family being homeless. And that was very, very challenging to navigate with a wife and a child.
You were homeless for a while with a wife and child?
Yes, yes, and I say the worst part about it is it happened on two separate occasions. So similar situations where job loss or loss of income, one was due to business income loss, and we couldn't afford the home that we were staying in. So through God's grace, people showed up and blessed us with opportunities to stay in their home and in different scenarios, but you can just imagine the challenges that come from that in a marriage. And you know, God's grace prevailed, and we were able to make it through. And there were some things that happened as a result that we look back and say, okay, this is a good thing, at least the result that came from it.
Sure. Well, appreciate your honesty here. Now, let's talk about premarital sex for a second, in the sense that the culture says, absolutely, you know, go for it. If it feels good, baby, do it. But God's word prohibits premarital sex. And some people would say, oh, that's because God's basically an ogre. What are your thoughts, having seen both sides of the aisle on that particular issue?
Yeah, my wife and I, we're from the same hometown. We kind of grew up in a culture in that hometown. I'm sure it's not just our hometown, but where premarital sex was what you did. There was no issue with it. That's just what you did. And we did it, and we kind of fell right along suit. But what we learned later is the challenges that were brought about by that. And we didn't know anything about God's word says this or it doesn't say that. We just did it. But it brought forth not just the relationship that we had, premarital sex, but there were other partners that we had in the past. So we brought those challenges, those memories, those things into the relationship. And then we didn't get to develop a friendship, which we believe is a crucial part of a marriage, prior to that, because we were intimately connected. And honestly, we were friends, really good friends, before we got intimately connected. And then things changed a little bit, and the dynamic changed. And of course, with our daughter, that brought even more changes. So we actually missed out on a good portion of that foundational stage of our relationship because we were focused on, oh, we're thrown together with child, new life together, and all these different things. And it was overwhelming.
So God's prohibition is for our good as opposed to, you know, his good or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. It is not a restrictive thing. We, at that time, we didn't understand that. But I can see just through the challenge that we've had now how much more we've been able to love each other just naturally and truly without the other issues that came from our premarital sexual relationship. So it is to our benefit to follow what he says in that regard.
As far as facing homelessness is concerned, were there actually nights that you slept out in the streets or you slept in your car, and did your family do so too?
Well, through God's grace, we were never without a roof over our head, but the circumstances weren't great. We stayed, we slept in a friend's basement. Our entire family slept in a friend's basement. We slept in a friend's extra bedroom. We slept in my mother-in-law's extra room that she had in her house. So there was a friend who showed up. He's a sales guy, and he had traveled all the time, so he had hotel points saved up from his travel. He gave us all of his hotel points, and he allowed us to use those until we didn't have anything else to do. So God showed up in that particular area, which was a blessing, but it was still challenging. You know, we couldn't keep all of our stuff with us. We would have to make daily trips to the storage unit that we were paying for to get stuff out.
Wow.
As seasons changed, kids would enjoy it. The one good thing is the kids would enjoy it. We were frustrated and hurt and sad, and we'd look at them, and they were going through their toys that they hadn't seen, playing and just having a good time. So there was some light in it, but we just had to be able to see it that way.
Huh. Okay, let me ask you this. What was the turning point in your marriage? I mean, I'm sure there were times where you actually thought about the possibility of throwing in the towel, but what changed so that from henceforth and forthwith, it's not going to be like this anymore, and we're going to work through this?
Well, the turning point in our marriage happened before the homeless-ish challenges and things like that, and it was about a year after we were married. And like I said, foundation stage, we didn't do it the way we suggest couples doing it now.
Right.
But we actually set up, we enrolled in a class at our church and met a pastor and his wife. We taught the class, and we learned what God's word said about marriage, which we had never been exposed to, and we had never seen it lived out like this.
Can you summarize some of those principles that you learned that especially led to you having an aha moment?
Yeah, definitely. The biggest one, and we say this is the one that kept us together through those challenging times, ups and downs, is that we say no to divorce. Under no circumstances is divorce thought about, spoken. We didn't, I mean, it got to the point they suggested we don't joke about it. We don't play about it. We don't use it as a weapon or anything. It is no option. And we worked from that stance, and that meant every problem that we faced, we had to face it together because we had to go through it together, and there was no option to go another way. So either we continue to struggle in these areas, or we figure out a way to overcome them.
You know, that's a very interesting testimony, Jackie, because basically what that means is that, especially since you said this is before the homelessness, before the bankruptcy, before living with your mother-in-law. So in other words, you faced all these challenges later, but you worked through it by the grace of God because you had the commitment to each other. No matter what, we're going to make this work by the grace of God.
Yeah, definitely. And that you mentioned commitment. That's what we talk about a lot in the wedding ring. So that phase of marriage is that commitment where you're coming together and you're, like I said, burning all bridges. There's no way to go back. We're married, and we're married until death do us part. So, you know, with God's help, we got to work together. We got to figure it out.
You know, it's funny. A lot of times, especially with wealthy people getting married today or remarried in many cases, and they go through all the prenuptial agreements and things like that. And every time I hear about that, I mean, I don't mean to be judgmental toward anybody, but I'm thinking, wow, in a sense, what you're saying is we're going to go ahead and get married. But if this thing doesn't work out, I got to make sure, you know, I protect my assets going into this relationship because otherwise, you know, this is my parachute. It's almost like going in a plane with a parachute expecting to jump out of that plane.
Yeah, prenuptial agreement is one that I don't think I'll ever understand. If you're committing to a relationship that is supposed to be a lifetime, there's no need to set some agreement to get out of it. But, you know, that's part of our society and what we do. And, you know, I do believe in an exit strategy for marriage, but that exit strategy is till death do us part.
Right.
You know, and then both couples have to believe in that and embrace that. So there's no prenups. There's no, okay, let me hold a little stash over here just in case something happens. No, we're in it together. We're in it to win it together.
Jackie Bledsoe is our guest right now. He's got his own website. Jackie is I-E, Bledsoe is B-L-E-D-S-O-E.com. And the name of his book is called The Seven Rings of Marriage, Model for Lasting and Fulfilling Marriage by Jackie Bledsoe. Now, Jackie, you know, because you speak in the churches. Now, first of all, the number is exaggerated, but there are divorces in the church. When I say the number is exaggerated, some pollsters and Shanti Feldhahn documents this in her book about marriage and stuff. Some people want to say, well, there's just as much divorce in the church as there in the as there is in the world. No, studies show that if the church, if the couple prays together, if they go to church regularly, etc., they're far less likely to get divorced. Nonetheless, there still are some divorces in the church. So what are your comments on that? Why does it happen? I mean, even one divorce in the church is one too many, Jackie.
Yeah, I agree. And I just think that, you know, we are fallible. We are sinners by nature and God's grace. But we have to practice those things that we learn. And I think that there's a difference between just going to church and showing up. Or a lot of people, I believe, profess Christianity, but we don't practice it. We aren't truly following Christ. And I think that sometimes we choose certain areas. And, you know, I don't want to make excuses, but in all fairness, we are bombarded with other images and other ideas about marriage. And it's easier sometimes to go that way than it is. It's hard. You know, it's hard to say no to divorce. It's hard to do the, to serve, to be selfless and serve our spouses when we're selfish in nature.
Yeah.
It is hard to give up our will for theirs. You know, it's hard for a husband to love his wife and a wife to respect her husband.
Right.
Those are not easy things. And I think sometimes we just give into the easier route instead of the deferred gratification of what happens when we practice God's word.
And the hard thing, too, is the fact that with no-fault divorce, there are situations, I've seen this happen with friends even, where the one spouse did not want the divorce, but the other one did, and just wouldn't listen to reason, certainly wouldn't listen to God's word, and just kind of covered their ears and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and went through with things even against the left, you know, the one left behind. It always takes two to tango, but still, no-fault divorce hurts, I think, in that picture.
Yeah, definitely. That happens, and there are those, we see those, I get a ton of emails now, and, you know, my spouse is not willing to do this, and we're trying this, and I'm not giving up, but I think that is the crucial thing, that even, now, of course, if they go through with it, there might not be anything that you can do. But we do have friends and have talked to couples who have actually remarried their spouse that they were divorced from.
Yeah.
So I say, in a sense, you never give up hope in that area. And they were literally going to war with each other. So
wow.
That was a really great story that we were able to capture. But you got to continue to trust God in that particular area.
All right, now, I'm going to get into a hard area here, and I'm sure you deal with this sometimes. There are situations where sometimes, literally, a husband, even if he's a professing Christian, will beat up his wife. Totally wrong by every standard. But the wife is not just supposed to be a doormat and take that. What is your comment when domestic violence, true domestic violence, is part of the picture?
Yeah, I don't think anyone should stay in a situation where they are physically being abused or hurt, and, you know, really their life is at danger. There's domestic violence issues all the time that result in the death of a spouse. So I think they do have to take precautions and measures to protect themselves. Now, you know, I don't know if that is meaning, you know, you separate for time being or you go the full route of divorce. And each situation is unique, so I don't want to speak a blanket statement for everyone.
Sure.
But don't remain in a situation where that you are physically at risk. That is not healthy. That is not of God. And I believe God is your refuge, ultimately. So you got to seek him and find out, how do I get free from this domestic violence situation but still honor you? And I trust that he will answer that question.
The Seven Rings of Marriage, Model for a Lasting and Fulfilling Marriage by Jackie Bledsoe. JackieBledsoe.com for more information. Jackie, we have 15 seconds for a summary statement about this whole issue of a godly marriage.
Yeah, definitely. I pray that that we are playing our small part in a marriage revolution that is going to point hearts of spouses to one another and ultimately to God. I pray the book gives hope and encouragement and some practical ways that we can have a God-honoring marriage.
Amen. Jackie Bledsoe, thanks so much for being with us. God bless you.
My pleasure. God bless you.
For Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb.